Isn't it amazing that if you prick us closer, we all have one kind of doubt or the other? We really, the things we say God can do, we have one doubt or the other because somehow in our lives, we have not seen that happen. We have not seen it. So we have heard all this news, all this thing they said what God could do, and we believe, you ask that God is powerful, God can do this, God can do that. But then when you press a little bit in the person's life, you see that there's a little bit of doubt because all those things that we are proclaiming that God can do, he has failed in one way or the other in our life that we can't really be bold to say that it is true. And I began to think about that. So I was wondering, I said, Lord, why is it that we all profess of your goodness, of how powerful you are, but somehow our actions don't show it sometime? And beyond that, our actions don't show it sometime, we really, there's a lot of unmet expectations with you. Why is it that? And God began to talk to me, and that's what I wanted to share this evening. I wanted to show us that, to share with us as we're going to 2015, the importance to be connected to victory. What did I say it is?
Connected.
The importance to be connected to victory. You know, because when I was asking God that question, I came, I was going down my street. It was in the night, and I saw lights on. And the Lord was asking me, where is the power from this light coming from? And I said, well, JCPNL for my area when I live. He says, well, so he says, well, they have a power station. He said, do you know where the power station is? I said, I don't know. He says, I bet you're enjoying life. I said, yes. He says to me, how do you know the power's gone? I said, when the lights go off, I know that the power's gone. He said, great. So there is a power somewhere. I said, yes. He said, look up the tree. And I looked up and I saw wires. He says, can I go and pick up a rope and tie it into one of those lights and replace those things with it? And still take it down all the way to the source where JCPNL and getting that power. What do I think will happen? I said, well, there will be no light. He says, why? Of course, there's power over there. Why is there no light? I said, the connection is wrong. It can't transfer power. He said, yes. He said, the problem with us Christians is that we know that there's God. We know that there's power. He said, there's a problem. What we are using to transfer power is faulty. The question is not that God is not powerful. Anyone you ask agrees to that. So how do we connect to that power? It is important to discuss that because, you know, now we are going into the new year. And one thing about new year is that as you're going into new year, we all begin to make resolutions. We're saying this new year, this is what's going to happen. We are going to do this. I am going to do this. We keep saying I. And the great thing is that all those things we are saying I am going to do, most of them are from the ones that we failed on, that we did not complete from the I that we said last year. So we have carried the I over to what? To the following year. So there are things that were not accomplished. Now we are moving it over. And then the issue is that it was never accomplished because I was going to accomplish it. And now it was not being accomplished. I move it to a new year and it becomes another new resolution. And then I move it again, it becomes another new resolution. At one point, you have to ask yourself, what's the problem? Why do I keep moving this thing over and it's not being achieved? So many times we could have reasons. We begin to talk about the resources and the things that made it difficult for it to happen. But then you know, immediately we are asked, though, we say we are children of God, that in Christ we can do what? Well, then if we can do all things, why do we keep carrying it over? You see, the end of year, again, I started saying this on Sunday, it's a great time to take stock. Why it's important to take stock is that when you take stock, you'll be able to know what you have that's not working. And if you want to be truthful to yourself, you begin to ask the question, what should I do differently? And what should I get to make sure that now this thing works, that it works? So many times our reasons why we fail is that it was difficult, we didn't have the resources that we need. John chapter 1. Verse 16 counters that. He says, no, we are not failing as Christians. We can't be failing because we didn't have the resources. He says, for out of his fullness, out of his fullness. Now, when you see that capital H, what he's talking about of God's fullness, out of Christ's fullness. And it's very important that you listen to me, my brothers and my sisters. You know, if we make a little adjustment as we go into this new year, amazing things will happen in our life. We have all what? Received. Now, that word received is a past tense. If I tell you that you have received something, it means that you have it. And he didn't say that out of his fullness, you are going to receive. So it's an important thing we will know as we are going into this new year, that we have all received, we have all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon what? Favor. And gift has been heaped on what? We have all received in abundance. So if something is not working, if our connection with God, if something we are looking to God and we are trusting and we are calling His name, and every year we are coming short on it, I want to assure you, my brothers and my sisters, the issue is not the source of the power. The issue is not lack of availability. It is there. It has been given. And beyond that, you have received it. God is not a liar. But the worst thing that could happen to any human being is that right now I come and you give me $10. And there's a sandwich for $5 and I'm walking around hungry. The issue is that I don't know that I have $10, or I do not know the purchasing power of what? Of $10. That's all what my problem is. So most of us are here in this service to welcome the new year in the presence of God because we believe God. No atheist will show up and say he wants to. They are doing something else. As a matter of fact, even some Christians are doing something. As a matter of fact, the people who are here this night have taken a step beyond just regular Christianity. That's why at 11:10 in the night, you made a decision that it makes sense for you to welcome the new year in what? In God's presence. So we are way further. You need to understand that. So I want to congratulate you that you're here. So we believe that God is able to do us. So some of us are even becoming a bit frustrated and skeptical about our trust in God. That is why sometimes I tell people there's no problem being in the presence of God. Like the prophets of Baal, when Elijah came to them and they were talking to their own God, there was the way they were talking to their own God. Actually, Elijah was taunting them, and to a point where he says they began to cut themselves, shouting and shouting. So you have seen us as Christians, people who have taken the extra step to believe God. Instead, now we are killing ourselves to find that God. So you hear we have gone to this place, we have remained there, we have starved ourselves, we have done this, we have done that, and nothing is happening. So skepticism has entered it, because really, if I know that this key opens the door, and I take that key and I put it in there, and it's not opening, and you're going by, you see me kicking that door and punching that door, the first thing that will come to your mind is that I'm frustrated. Actually, it will be an action of a frustrated person. Praise the Lord. So because we don't understand this connection, how to be connected to power, we believe that there is power there, but we have put a key and we are turning it and we are beginning to kick the door. There's frustration coming in. There's all kinds of things happening. And because of that frustration, hypocrisy begins to come in. But I want to assure us that my brother, that key, Jesus Christ, that key, it is a true foundation. Don't be frustrated. I will not be frustrated. I want to tell you that. Don't go try anything else. That key is what? It is the right key. How do I know that? John chapter 14, verse 6. And I'm taking us somewhere. John 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am what? I am the way and the truth and the life. What does no one mean? He said, there is no way. There's no way to God. No one comes to the Father except they go what? Through me. So your key is right. Don't be frustrated. I'm going to show you something. The name of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus is there. It's working. It's still working. The power of the blood is still active. Nothing has happened to it. First John chapter 5, verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? If somebody can walk in, you know many times somebody just, if here, the sister was sharing her healing and other people sharing them, do you know, if you see somebody who is sick now, and you tell them, just go to restoration house. I was listening, and this sister was sick. I said, they prayed, and the whole thing become well. Do you know your testimony will cause that your friend to rush and show up here on Sunday? If he needs him, because your testimony, and he trusts you, and he's known you. So that's a testimony of a man. So he says we receive men's testimony. So when men come and tell us things, if somebody come and tell you, look, this business is good, if your friend, as much sometimes even not your friend, do you know sometimes we even get into things that we don't know very well because we just see somebody by our side doing it and we think that they are successful in doing it and we too, we do what? So we receive men's testimony. So if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater then. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his son. Now what's that witness? Verse 11 and 12. 11 and 12. So if we receive the testimonies of men, if we receive what they tell, what this is God's testimony. And this is the testimony that God has done what? Given. Did he say he was going to? See, you have to know what you have to know how to operate it. I'm starting from the base. You must first agree that you have something. If you don't know that you have it, me just wasting my time here sharing with you how to use it, it's like somebody that does not have a dime and I'm telling them how they're going to make money if they invest $100. They don't have a dollar. It doesn't. What am I wasting my time? So the most important thing is for a person to understand, first of all, that they have the capital to invest. Praise the Lord. See, God's testimony is that he has given us eternal life. And the life is in who? That's where it is. I don't care what failures we have experienced. I don't care what other failures people you know, you think they were super Christians that experienced. I don't care what words are going around. I don't care what the world, you know, there's wickedness in this world. There are wicked people, there are principalities, there are powers, there are people that you are sitting in your house. Look at the whole mortgage debacle that happened in 2004, all things. Greedy people decided to be doing crazy deals. And people who just saved 5,000, 2,000, 10,000, and started to buy their first house. All of them ended up with deals that the loan bloated and they lost everything that they have made all through their life. It wasn't God. There are wicked people in this world. And they operate wicked. But God's testimony is that he has given you the son. Verse 12. He who has the son, I want you to read with me. He has the son, does what? He who does not have the Son of God does not what? So the first place you start is to have the Son of God. Listen, I can tell you to fast 17 days. I can tell you how when I touch people in their head, they begin to spin round and round. Listen, that's a game. If you don't have the Son of God, power does not belong to any man. It belongs to God. And God says the beginning place is that you must have what? The Son of God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone. He said, I, God, am laying this foundation. Now, we are making another step. We said the Son, you must have it. Now, he's saying it's a foundation. Because you know, if you are going to connect, because first of all, when we are going to get light, JCPNL must first have a power station. Building power stations cost so much money. that if me and you decide now to just go build a power station and decide to put lights in our house, we can't afford it. So freedom and foundation and the power that can carry your trials and your troubles in this world, you don't have it. So don't be able to say, my new resolution is this. I will do this. I will do that. We do not possess the power to deal with the issues of life. I was reading the other day on Wall Street Journal, what's his name, that invested so much money in this drilling fracking. He invested so much money. The market was rising so high. He was making money like crazy. Just a month ago, he lost $2 billion. He lost his whole capital. This was a billionaire. He has become a millionaire. And they were talking to the man. You can see him that he's broken. In 1 month. Praise the Lord. So there is no foundation. There is no way you can decide to say, taking into consideration, well, my job is good. Do you know that it is one morning that you wake up and go to, my wife was testifying here, it's one morning you wake up and go to the doctor, and you are doing well, nothing was wrong, and they tell you your heart is failing. 4 days ago, you were walking around, okay, dancing. One morning, you say, let me go see my doctor. You show up, they say, your heart is what? Maybe 3 days before, you have said, I will go to this vacation, I will do this, I will do that. 2 days later, they're telling you that we have found something in your stomach. Go and get yourself ready. So that we can build a foundation. So God says, I am laying a foundation, a stone, a tested one, a precious cornerstone of a sure what? Foundation. He who believes, he who does what? Lives on that foundation. He who believes on that cornerstone. He who trusts on that foundation. He who believes, trusts in it, relies on it, adheres to it, will not be what? Will not be ashamed or give way or hasten away in sudden what? Panic. He said, now when you understand this truth, the testimony of God that he has given his son and his son is eternal life, there's no other way, there's no other foundation that can guarantee this life. What you do is you make a concerted decision to say, I'll put my trust in it. You make that decision. You pull away from you say that this is the truth. That's what I said first. You have to agree that you have it. You have to agree that is what it is before we start going. So, that's why we sing songs like, Jesus is the pillar that holds our life. All those kinds, he's my rock. He's my fortress. All those kind of things. We sing it. But then when we come out, we say, well, it has not worked. It has not worked. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. There's so much failure. And you know, the longer, that's why sometimes, if you see a young Christian that just received the Lord, his zeal is incredible. Then very soon, the ones that have been hanging out for another, tell him that he should calm down, or that they have been doing this thing for a long time, that he thinks he's just going to work like that. They start telling him, calm down. He's staying. I've trusted. They start giving an example. I know my auntie. He was the chief in the church. He prayed 70 times. That thing, this happened to him. This happened to him. The Christian starts saying, maybe this thing does not work. The problem now then is to establish this pillar, to establish our connection, there are materials that God, because you see, I was saying this on Sunday, that the foundation carries the house, but power has to be transferred to the foundation. You can build a super foundation if you go and take bamboos. This thing now is carrying this speaker. If I increase how many pounds of this speaker, this thing will crumble. But this floor is strong. The foundation can carry anything. It is a sure foundation. It's a proven foundation. But the problem is that power has to be transferred to the foundation to be able to carry it properly. That is the connection. The power, the foundation is the victory. He says that it is done already, it is finished, so it is prepared, it is ready for us. But somehow, you have to transfer your sorrows, you have to transfer your distress, you have to transfer all those things properly to where? To the foundation. We have to. If we don't, it won't work. Then we say it's the foundation. No, our transfer mechanism is poor. The wire, the problem is not the power. The power is there. But now, instead of you using copper, is it copper wires that they still use? You have gone and used a go and pick this, and you're trying to transmit 240 kilovolts. It starts burning. We start causing disaster. So we must not connect improperly. Now, what did God call an incorrect, an improper connection? Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. By the time I finish, we are going into this new year. By the grace of God, if I can finish this, if I can't finish it, I'll get it to a place. By the time we are getting, we all have a glimpse of a proper connection and we make a decision. That our prayer time will be a time of decision with God that says, I am going into this new year, I am connecting properly, and I'm expecting great harvest. For all that is in the world, and what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, craving for sensual. I've told you people here, sensual is not bad. Sensual is not sex. When people hear you are doing sensual things, they say, sin. No. Sensual is your eyes. If I come and I see this my sister's watch and I like it, there's nothing. It's a nice watch, isn't it? Whatever it is what? It is nice. Senses. Living your life with what? With your eyes, with your senses. So the decisions is, they say that the economy is just terrible in New Jersey. And you said that God is a foundation. And he says that anyone that put his trust on him will not be put to shame. You don't even ask God, should I give? You say, my friends are making so much money in Texas. You pack your bag, you do what? The craving for sensual gratification and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of light. Pride of light is not that I'm walking around putting my hand in the pocket. People think that being holy is that they got to be walking like that. That's ridiculous. That's not what he's saying. Pride of life is an assurance in your own resources. That's what pride is. Pride is not that I'm wearing a nice suit. I didn't do anything wrong wearing a nice suit. Assurance in your own resources. So anything you want to do, hey, honey, what we have is only $2. People start fighting. Don't touch that. It's only $2. And you said that God is what? The foundation. And now they're fighting over $2. No, honey, but we need to buy. Oh, no. It's only $2. You know, we have to do this. We have to do the senses. No faith. Nothing. Didn't go to God. Say, Lord, we have said it's the foundation. Now I'm transferring. Never ask the Lord. We have this need. It's a $5 need. All we have is $2. Not the time for me to begin to call my wife names. Or for him to begin to decide this is how his father told him not to marry me. That's not the time. It's the time because I believe in the power of God and he's my foundation. I connect properly and I say, Lord, there is what? There is a need. Is that what we do at times like that? No, we start beginning to calculate. How much do I have? Oh, maybe I should take a 7th job. Or maybe I should take an 8th one. Pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. So that guy that lost $2 billion, when the oil price was going, you see, he began to invest crazy. The oil price going from 80, 90, 114. He's going like, man, we're going to kill this world. So me and you, we are buying gas for $5. He's going like, yeah, I don't care. We're going to kill him. And one morning, nobody warned him. Nobody told me anything. They think, like joke, $63. But his whole stability was an earthly thing. He never got up any morning and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you. I'm kept by your power. No, he said, no. This oil price that is going up, that is my ticket there out. So we say Christ is our foundation, that we believe in him. Where have you trusted in him in any of your decisions? Or is it, you know, the market is going this way. I'm a businessman. I own a business, a successful one. And God called me to the ministry. And I do both. And I do it wonderfully. By his power. So I use wisdom. But the thing is that why my business has become tremendously successful is that I removed the pride of life. As a matter of fact, ask me, I went to do over project of millions and I had $3,000. And I said, the Lord, and the Lord said, go do it, I'll help you. I completed it. There was no way, there's no human person. As a matter of fact, the bank that I approached to do that deal, they laughed me out. And then, like my wife said, you put things under your feet. And then I'm going up and down. I'm not doing this project. And one day I came and sat in my office. And God started saying, yes. I could hear the devil was laughing at me. And God said, yeah, laugh at him very well. What a fool. So I said, why are they laughing at me? He says, oh, so you say you have a big God. He said, you're going around preaching to people. But here you have a project. I said, do it. And you're saying, the bank has not approved it. The bank wanted to mess me up. They came and gave me these conditions to do it. It was like almost somebody bringing you, flogging you very well and tell you not to cry. So that day, man, it's like I woke up from sleep. So I took that their deal offer to do that loan and I put it under my feet and I stood on top of it and I began to bless the name of God. I began to bless the name of God. I had asked him, I had $3,000. I had $3,000 in my account. Ask him, I come to him, I said, Nenem, I'm starting this project. He said, you are? He said, yeah. I finished it. Selling it, making out of it. Because I came to learn that it is God. If I have remained and be looking for my own resources for my stability, if I was remained and looking for earthly things for my stability, I will still be there and the bank will tell me, go home, come back. By now, self, the taxes in the place will be so high that the city too will come and do what? Take it from me. That's why the Bible warned us. It says that the thief has come to do what? To steal, to kill, and to what? He has no plan to stop. He said, but I have come. Do you believe that someone has come? So we go and put our connection on wealth and money after we have been warned. And I'll show you the story he told us to put our connection. After we have been warned, he said, don't put it over here. What do? We put it on money and wealth. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 4 to 5. We put it there. And we wonder why we are opening the door. Opening a door. So now we want to throw away the key. But the key is good. It's a sure foundation. It is guaranteed. Weary not yourself to be what? It didn't say don't get rich, you know. That's why it's also foolish when people go to church and say that being rich is a... it's not Christian-like. Are you kidding me? Go and be poor. And tell me how being poor, how I enjoy it. I love being rich. God cannot tell us. The first place we read, he says, out of his abundance. Who here has an abundance and their child is poor? He said, out of his abundance, you have received abundance. You have received gifts upon gifts. You have received. So he says, so you have received abundance. So the answer is not saying don't be rich. He said, don't weary yourself. How can you receive abundance and be wearying yourself to get abundance? He said, don't weary. Yes. Cease from what? Your own human wisdom. Cease from it. If God is God, trust him. Talk to him. Develop a relationship that everything, as the days goes, there's nothing I don't do. There's nothing I do that I don't talk, I don't ask God. I say, even this church, I'm saying, I'm sitting here, even praising, I say, how do we do it? I don't know what's going to happen the next minute. Why should I be ignorant? Why should I be so proud? I don't know. So I'm asking him. Because he says he knows all things. And he says he lives in me. He says I'm his son. Do you see where we disconnect? So we leave power. We can't be doing all other things. We can't transfer. The foundation is like, come on, give me the weight. Come on, give me the weight. Come on, give me. He's like, give me, let me carry. We're taking wires like this. It burns over here, and we're saying it's the foundation. He tears over here of saying the foundation. He has never even gotten to the foundation to carry. Then someone will begin to depend on human connection. Before you talk, we begin to drop names. This person is my friend. Ah, I know this one. You know them all of them. It's the day you get into real trouble, you will know they are not your friends. Be thinking. Leave, you're a Christian. I have this pastor over there who prays for me. Be thinking, he's praying for you. He is all right. Be thinking. Send you. Listen. Don't make the mistake of somebody telling you he's sending him his money that he's praying for you. Don't do something like that. Don't do that. If you have so much money like that, please just come. There are orphans that people all over the place. Give it to them. They depend on other people. And that's what God tells us clearly. That if you do that, it won't come to the foundation. It won't come. Look at it now. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 5. 6. This is what who says? Help me. This is what? The Lord. And this one, they did the complete Lord with what? Every interpretation of the Bible you see, they did it like that. What did he say? Cursed are those who put their trust in what? Mere humans. If God curses a thing, if a man, you see, somebody recently said that God has cursed that. God has not cursed any person. That's why we go around and say, this curse, you know, is God, it's because he did this. Listen, that is ridiculous. Somebody cannot say, I am love, and at the same time curse people. I cannot describe something as black and it is white. I am black. Can't be the same thing. That would be a Jekyll and a Hyde kind of thing. God cannot be love and be cursed. So he said, but if a person now decides his pillar to be this, that person has put himself in a curse. Cursed are those who put their trust in who? Mere humans. Who rely on what? Human strength. And what that happens is that they do what? They turn their hearts. Do you know why that happens? Because the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. He says it's impossible. He said it can't happen. You see, the thing is that we don't. He said it can't happen. And when God says something is impossible, it's impossible. I don't know why God can say something is impossible. And I'm trying to make it happen. It says that immediately the person has put his trust on, I have this friend, I have that friend, I have this. You see, what that happens is that your heart will leave God. Our heart. Sorry, please, let me tell you. When I'm saying you, I guess it's just our, me too. Me too. Listen, it is by faith. If this church asked them the day we started, if we're looking at people, we won't start. But look at it, isn't it cheerful? We'll come here, we're dancing. We are blessing the name of the Lord because he says, go and do it. We didn't come here and be saying, are there five people? Are there two people? No. We continued blessing and doing what God has told us. So what? Are we not seeing the results? Because immediately we begin to look, maybe that's my brother. Why did he? Let me go and call him. Let him come on. If we begin to do that, our heart will leave God. And the thing is that human beings will fail you. Even the best men. Somebody who has the best meaning in their heart. Somebody who meant well. Somebody the day they were telling you that thing, they really meant it. Do you think that the day that Peter was telling Jesus Christ, says that, I will die with you, do you think he didn't mean it? He meant it. He meant it because how you know he meant it is that when they first charged to the Garden of Gethsemane, he drew a sword and began to fight. Which means he meant his word. But pressure began to come. There's a place where pressure reaches. Even the person that you're counting on will do what? But he can take it. That is when that foundation that is sure does what? Begins to carry. So if your heart was not on it, that time there is no way to transfer it. The third thing, we begin to trust in our own ability. We can trust in our own ability. And you know, this trusting in ability is even worse. It is so prevalent in Christendom that even the gift of Jesus Christ by grace that have cleansed your sin, Christians are refusing to take it. They want to work out their salvation. It's so terrible. So if you tell some people, you come and say, you have been saved by the grace of God. You say, hey, you want to tell us to be sinning. The one he was sinning yesterday, who sent him to do that one? Your own ability. Your own ability. You want them to say, I did it. But we are failing. We can't do it. We can trust on our own ability. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. These things I'm bringing out, hold them, and I'll show you the other one. Switch them. Anywhere they're in our lives, switch them. And begin to build on it. And I'll show us, because it'll be pointless. These words can touch your heart today, and if you don't do anything in it, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 2 weeks later, it'll be strange to you. Completely strange. He said, for they don't understand God's way of doing what? Making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God. Refusing to do what? To accept God. God's way. They do what? They cling to their own way. They cling. Tell them, ah, they say, ah, no, this has been how we do it. This is how I do it. This is how I do it. This is how I do it. Their own ability. Ah, even my father did it like this. My mother did it like this. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Commit this anger to him. Say, ah, no, this anger runs in our family. But I am trying. How can it be running your family? Your father could not try it out. Your grandfather could not try it out. Why are you thinking that you can try it out? Psalm 127, verse 2. Monica, please get that time ready for me. If we have like 10 seconds, looking at the time, 10 or 12 o'clock, just. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until what? Late at night. Anxiously working for what? Make ends meet. Ah. It's God. I'm not the one saying it. See, instead, look at what God. For God gives rest to the people he does what? Does he not love you? As a matter of fact, while you were still yet sinner, he loved us so much that he did what? Is it now that you have decided to come welcome your life in his presence that he will kick you out? Is it now that 12 midnight that you could have been sleeping, doing whatever you want, you thought so much, you said that it is important for me to come before you? Is it now then that you, I mean, come on. He gives rest. He gives it. He didn't say you work for it. He gives rest. So what should we substitute these pillars with? They need substitution. We can't be going like this. See, there is no way a foundation to carry the load of the house if it is not properly transferred. I've said that. And so, the Bible now teaches us, and I'll show, it says that Christ is the head. And we are what? We are his body. Now, the issue is that a body that's not attached to the head, that head can't service that body. It can't. No matter how much it wants, it can't service that body. And he says that there is no other way to God. There is no other way for you to get to the foundation. There is no other way except him. Yeah, that has been declared, and we have agreed with that. So now, since that is the issue, we must make sure that we become part of that body and stay connected to the head. I don't care how you pray. If you're not part of the head, if you are not, you are out there. You can be giving, you can be doing whatever you want. The issue is that the head will say, come on, attach. Come on, attach, let me feed you. Come on, attach, let me give you healing. Come on, attach, let me give you strength. Come on, attach, let me remove that oppression. Come on, you're under sorrow. Come on, attach. Come on, come on. But we will not attach if we continue to build our life in all these other things I've put out. So we need to begin to switch to build a different way. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 23. It says, I also pray that you will do what? Understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us that believe. So the first thing says, I want you to understand. I began saying, look, he loves you. That's the foundation. It's the key. It works. It works. And you have received it. I don't care what has happened in the past. I want to reassure you today. Just, it was not because of the foundation. It was not because God forsook you. That's not the truth. If anybody have told you that, that's not true. Because he said, I will never forsake you. I'll never what? And his word is A and what? He said he does not lie. So that's not what happened. What happened? Let's leave that. Whatever that had bitten us in the night, let us call it mosquito. So, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same power, verse 20, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in where? In the place of honor at God's right hand. In where? In the heaven. So that's the same power we're talking about. Verse 21. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also what? Pretty much what he's saying there is that your head is above everything. That if you attach that head, that nothing can bring you down. That's what he says. He says that head is where it is. It trumps anything. So even witches, even they come and tell you, ah, this is happening because somebody planted something in your village. Whatever they planted, whatever they said, oh, you know, he spoke that thing to me, it was a curse. Whatever they have spoken, if it was spoken by a man, if I don't care what that man is, he's saying that your head is above every authority. So the first thing you do, now understanding that your head is above authority, agreeing that it is really your head that you attach, is that when they say that to you, there you say that you laugh at that. You see, your actions, there's a time I've said here that my dad told me that that being rich is acted. You do it. You don't say I'm rich. You do what rich people do. If you believe that that is your head and it is greater and higher than any of your authority, if any low authority comes and is threatening you, what do? You laugh at it. That your action of laughing at it tells him that you're attached to a head. And it also tells you that you're attached to a more powerful authority. But if you don't and you start running around, even you don't believe that you're attached, that your head is big. You see how action begins to come. But I'll show you why we can't do this. Verse 22. Why sometimes it's difficult to do this. Verse 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of what? He has introduced something else. He has introduced something. He has made him the head and put other things over him, but he did that for the benefit of who? That's who benefits from it. Now, let me show you. Let's see what the church is. 23. And the church is what? His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with what? With him. He says that church is his body. So it's you. It is you. It is you. It is me. That is who that this whole thing has been made for. If you go back to 22. Go back to 22. My dear, go back one. He said he has done all these things for the benefit of the church. And let me rush because I'm running out of time. So the head is Christ. And the Bible says that Christ is the word that became what? Man. So the head now is the word. Huh? So the head is the word. So the Bible begins to say, let the word that is spoken about Christ, let it do what? Dwell richly in your life. How many of what God has said do you know? That thing you say you failed, what did God say about it? Do you know it? Now, if you don't know it, and you're the church, and your head is the word, and you do not know the word, and everything of the head has been made for you, and you don't know this, how can it work? touch. It can work. So we are disconnected. So victory is there, but our connection is out. So you must be part of a body as you're going to this new year. Of the word. Not the ones you catch. You flip the TV, you catch one word. Let me tell you, do you know how you catch disease? Do you know disease is caught? Do you know why it's caught? Because it's gone. Praise the Lord. You don't want to leave that alone. Do you? You don't want to be catching a word. You can't be slicing your head. Take a slice of the head. The body really needs its full head. So it can't live by slicing the head. Slicing the head. That body will be anemic. So the word that is spoken about Christ must dwell richly. As you enter this year, you must plant yourself in a position, in a situation, in a place where the word of God becomes paramount in your life. I'm telling you, my brother, I'm not lying to you. If anybody is telling you anything else, that there's something they're just going to do and remove whatever is the issue, they are lying. You're going to now go depend on men. You're going to go depend on your wealth. You're going to go depend on yourself. And when you do all of that, your heart is going to leave God. And you'll be calling God and you're not attached. That's the problem. So the Bible says that word, he said he sent. What I want you to do for me, Lord, is that strengthen me in the inner man, that I will do what? I will be in the place of what? Of your word. That I can build myself in your word. Listen, that is the main thing you need. Because he says that it is only through that word that we are healed. He says that word is the lamp. That's how you can see. God has not devised anything else to bring you to his power apart from what? Let nobody fool you. As a matter of fact, if you don't even know his word, you'll be praying foolishly. Some woman did it in the Bible. He didn't know. He came to Jesus. He says, these are my two sons. The mother of Zebedee. The wife of Zebedee. Zebedee's. He said, these are my two children. I've come to plead with you. Please, if you come to that your kingdom, put one, make one prime minister, make one the minister of petroleum. Jesus Christ said to him, he says, you don't know what you are what? Even so, if you don't know your head, your prayer is infinite. So you can have spent all year praying and you don't know that what you were not doing was praying. You were just wasting your time. So be a living part of a body where the word is being taught and give yourself to know the word. Control your mouth. We have said that the word is creating things, that God does not do anything unless he's speaking. So you too, if he's your head and you're speaking, then it's him speaking. If you're speaking garbage, your life is turning to garbage. That's the problem. You can't be just, I'm just stating the facts.
How can you be stating? How can you be stating the fact? Is that what God said? Is that what God said? So in your house, the child is acting crazy. Say, yeah, they say it's WDD. That's the fact. Which fact? God says that the children have given it for signs and wonders. Is that God's fact? Should be accepting and being used and then yield your money. Look at what God said. Our time is it's almost done. We're getting into New Year. He says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. He says, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of what? Of God. If any man speaks, if you're going to speak, speak as a person. Speak as, that God is your head. Don't lend your mouth to all kinds of garbage. Every gossip you got there, the person goes and puts his mouth to it. Every suggestion, people begin to tell you, you join in, they put it. Your heart leaves God because what will be mounting out? What will be mounting out? It's completely contrary. Instead, what God says, give your mouth to praise. So when we're talking here at Job, I said, I feel like praising the Lord. So sometimes when I see certain things in my business, that's not going to happen. When I come there, I see it, I wouldn't lend my mouth. I begin to praise the Lord. I begin to praise the Lord. I begin to say what God has spoken about that issue. I begin to say, and very soon I begin to dance. I begin to be happy. And what I have spoken, he says that I'm an oracle of God. He says that whatever the counsel of God, no man can change it. So if I'm an oracle of God and I'm speaking what God has spoken, what I've spoken about that situation, no man can change it. Because my head is an authority that's above every authority. I know that. I can't finish this. I can't finish this. Because we are going into this. So what I want you to do, I'll complete this on Sunday. There's some parts of this. I'll complete it on Sunday. But I've given us some nuggets of it. So as we are going into this new year, we are going to count into new year together. And what I want you to pray is that, Lord, open my eyes. Don't be asking for shoe. No, let me tell you something. If you have understanding, you will know how to make shoe. You will know. The problem is not connected. If you're connected, God says that he has given you abundance, that you have received everything. He says it's there. So if we are not receiving it, so what do you want to do? Lord, open, let me connect properly. Your word is power. Lord Heavenly Father, I want to come to you today. Help me. So don't say, I will. Because you can say now, I will be get myself in a place of the word. Two Sundays, you're out. Say, Lord, strengthen me in the inner man. I have found your way. That I will do what? I will stand by your power. That's prayer. That's prayer. Listen, that's why we want to go into the new year. As we go, we are speaking what we want to happen in this new year. We are speaking it. God creates things with your word. So prayer is not that there's a way I do it. Say, ah, pastor, pray. Ah, that man can pray. No. Prayer is your heart. No man can pray better. Prayer is what? Understand prayer. So, how many? I have almost 2 minutes. So we continue in this because the Bible teaches us, it says, God said to us, he said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. He said, whatsoever you bound here on earth, he says, it's bound in heaven. That's why he said, I can't put it on. You have time. Okay, good. Okay, give me, do you have time to give me Matthew 16:19? And let's round up with it. Matthew 16:19. He said, I give you the kings of what? The kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, you declare to be improper and unlawful on where? On earth. Don't we live on earth? On earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you lose, shall lose it. So as you go into this new year, open, I'm telling you, my brother, if you're waiting for the pastor, that's great. It's great. Your pastor. Part of what the pastor do is feed. You know, the pastor is a shepherd. What I'm doing is feeding you now. The feeding I feed is not always come. Let me pray for you. That's a ridiculous kind of feeding. I want to equip you, feed you. My children, I'm paying their school fees so they go to college. I've been threatening that, say, finish college so you two can begin to give me money. That's the proper feeding. Not come to me feeding. Come to me. I'm not God. Yes, but I stand to stand with you. I do. So he says, whatever you bound. So you're going into this new year. You are an oracle of God. God lives in you. You are his son. He says that whoever has the son has what? Do you have the son? He didn't say, have you been very good? He didn't say, have you ever sinned? That's not the question. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Happy New Year!